the March 11th, 2019 meeting at 6:30 in the evening. And if we'd stand for a minute before we do the Pledge of Allegiance, I would just like to recognize that someone very important to our community passed away about a week ago. And what day?
A couple weeks ago.
Within the past 2 weeks, Grace McDonald, who was on our Parks Commission and involved in so many different ways in our community. And so if we could just take a minute to bow our heads and say a personal prayer, that would be appreciated. Okay, thank you very much. She will be fondly remembered in our community. So we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Anne, if you would take a roll call attendance, please.
Sure. Corte?
Here.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Walters?
Present.
Merrill?
Here.
Henschel?
Here.
Lyle?
Here.
Friend?
Here. Okay, the presentation of the agenda. The agenda in front of you, regular consent calendar. We have Mount Holiday Maintenance Agreement, engineering projects of the phosphate injection and Jens Park, water and sewer payment plan, land division ordinance, marijuana policy, which is a medical marijuana resolution and a recreational marijuana ordinance, and then appraisal quotes for a Michigan Tax Tribunal case. I would like the board to consider adding three different items. One, under engineering projects, that would be the US 31 CIPP, the cured in place project for the sewer line. You believe you received the information on Friday from Brian Souza. And then as well, at the end of our agendas, number 7 and 8, if we could add the planner job description. And number 8, Metro request. Okay, is everybody fine with that?
I would like to add,
sure,
revisit the discussion on the short-term rental date of May 1st.
Sure.
Given that it's not on here.
Sure, if we can do that. We will add that. Number 9, short-term rental, May 1st date. Okay, is that acceptable to everybody? Okay, we'll move forward with that agenda. Any review for conflict of interest? Does anybody have a conflict to declare? Okay, seeing none, we'll move forward to public comment. This is the time where the public can approach the podium and make a comment to the township board. Just come up and introduce yourself and your address and make your comment. We will have public comment during the land division ordinance, which is agenda item number 4, and also during number 5, the marijuana policy. So we'll make sure to open those two agenda items up to public comment. And we have a public comment at the end as well. So if there's any public comment, please. Yes. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. My name is Gail Miller. My address is 9395 Taft Road, Ovid. And our family cottage is at 774 Lake George Trail. My sister and brother and I inherited our family cottage from our parents. We've been renting it for the last 7 years to keep the cottage in the family. Our parents are now gone. Their great-grandchildren now are of the age that they're learning to swim in Lake George. We are fighting for our parents' legacy, and the short-term rental ordinance threatens that legacy. I'm sure that the intent of this body was not to harm people like us, but harm us you have. The ordinance as written hurts many people who have made major financial decisions based upon their ability to rent their property or a room in their home. An ordinance that arbitrarily restricts our booking calendars over a very short summer season will result in significant financial harm to many of us who need that income to pay our taxes or to supplement our income. There are now more than 58 hosts in our group, and I speak for many of them that cannot be here tonight. Many of us have signed on to and contributed money towards a potential lawsuit against the township over the short-term rental ordinance. Please know that we have no desire for a legal battle. We just want the township to treat us fairly. We are not the enemy. We're your neighbors and your constituents. We want to work with the township and our neighbors on the other side of this issue to come up with a common sense regulatory framework that allows short-term rental hosts to operate while preserving peace in the neighborhoods. The township has been served a demand letter by our attorney at Dingman and Dancer. So far, that letter has not been entered into public record. I would like to do that at this time by summarizing the letter. The letter is from Dane Carey of Dingman and Dancer and dated February 27. It was submitted on behalf of more than 26 short-term rental hosts. It stresses that we do not want to pursue litigation and that the hosts are not opposed to regulation. The letter identifies the following problems with the short-term rental ordinance. The letter states that the ordinance is improperly enacted due to violations in procedural due process, that the ordinance is an invalid use of police power, the ordinance is unconstitutionally vague and indefinite, the application fee is an illegal tax and the funds generated cannot be used for anything other than the management of a licensing program, that the ordinance is an unconstitutional taking by restricting the use of our private property, the rental frequency provision is arbitrary and unreasonable, and that the requirement is, and I quote, arbitrary and bears no reasonable or substantial relationship to any conceivable purpose, end quote. The dwelling appearance provision is an invalid use of police power. The deed restrictions and bylaws provision is an invalid use of police power. And the after-the-fact fee is an unenforceable penalty. The demand letter also challenges the list of exempted properties as being composed in an arbitrary and discriminatory manner. Excuse me. You can find this letter in its entirety on the documents page of our website at eastbayhosts.com. The board's extension of the compliance deadline to May 1 was appreciated, but it's not enough. There must be a commitment on the part of the township board to address these issues to avoid a lawsuit. To do so, we recommend the following steps. The township should extend the compliance deadline until September 1st or until the issues have been resolved. That the township immediately appoint a short-term rental advisory committee that can give guidance towards the board on short-term rental issues, and that the process for amending the ordinance start immediately, since it will take a number of months to appoint the committee, hold hearings, public meetings, etc. The demand letter also included a list of proposed amendments to the ordinance that would address the issues that we have. I have a copy for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, and it's also on our website under the documents page. A well-crafted ordinance should be like a scalpel, not a sledgehammer. It should enable short-term rental hosts to operate without while creating a framework designed to prevent and correct real problems. We, the East Bay hosts, are ready to work with you to make the ordinance work for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail.
Anyone else for public comment? Okay, seeing none, we will move forward with our agenda. You have correspondence in your packet, and that consists of information from the Northwest Michigan Invasive Species Network, short-term rentals, as well as the minutes from Planning Commission, ZBA, and Parks Commission, the 2018 annual report from Grand Traverse Metro, information regarding our insurance carrier coverage, which has saved about $6,600 this year, and an email from our finance director. I think it might have even been actually the letter is in here. It was from Heidi Sheppy, mm-hmm. That showed a savings of, I think it was about $17,000. So that was a terrific thing that they went through and did with those bonds, and the ambulance report. So does anybody have any questions on any of those items?
I have a question. Wait. No, that's not in correspondence. Never mind.
Okay. later. So now we'll move on to the consent calendar. I think, Sue, you had a change to the consent calendar?
Just one item. On the second payables for payroll, I forgot to delete the statement about the three voided checks. There were no voided checks at all in the month. So we can just delete that, please.
Okay. We will do that. Anne, would you go over the consent calendar, please?
Sure. The purpose of the consent calendar is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one board motion without discussion. Any member of the board, staff, or the public may ask that any item on the consent calendar be removed from there and placed elsewhere on the agenda for full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. If any item is not removed from the consent calendar, the action noted in parentheses on the agenda is approved by a single board action adopting the consent calendar. This evening, you have February 5th, 2019, Planning Commission and Board of Trustees joint meeting minutes. February 5th, Board of Trustees special meeting minutes. February 11th, Board of Trustees regular meeting minutes. And February 28th, Board of Trustees special meeting minutes. Recommend approval. From the general fund, check numbers 14374 through 14443 for $69,840.07. The emergency fund, check numbers 3968 through 3991, paid in the amount of $44,718.87. The receiving fund, check numbers 2624 through 2631 for $269,123.15. The escrow fund, one check, number 1584, for $570.50. And the payroll dated February 3rd through February 16th, check number 6455 through 6463, totaled $40,923.09. And the payroll dated February 17th through March 2nd, check number 6464 through 6476, for a total of $46,212.42. Total payroll, $87,135.51. And total amount paid, $471,388.10. Proposed budget adjustments, BA 2019-02 and 2019-03. East Bay wage adjustment, East Bay billing contract, and Township Hall cleaning change in vendors.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Does anybody from the board have anything that they would like removed from the consent calendar? Sure.
H2.
Sure.
And H1.
Okay. We will put those after. Number 9. We'll add those as 10 and 11, respectively. Okay. Would any member of the public like anything removed from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, is there, bring that back to the board. Is there a motion?
Move to accept the consent calendar with the adjustments presented.
Is there a second?
Support.
Okay, moved by Henschel and supported by Walters. Any further discussion? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote, Ann.
Henschel?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Forte?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. All right, we'll move into the business before the Board of Trustees. In front of us, we have the Mount Holiday Maintenance Agreement. Jim Collasion, I think, is Jim here? Jim was running a few minutes late from work, I know. So what you have in front of you, what's that?
I think she's here.
Oh, you are here. Hi, Jim. How are you? Would you come on up and visit with us for a second? So this is a maintenance agreement that follows with the 195 acres that we're putting in for a grant request to the DNR Trust Fund. And this is the maintenance agreement that they have drafted. Luckily, they have an attorney involved on their board who volunteers with Mount Holiday. And that was John Lynch, and he's not able to be here. He's on vacation this week. And so Jim... was drafted, and we appreciate him being here. You've been instrumental in Mount Holiday over the past decade or more, and we have had Peter has taken a look at this agreement and made some adjustments, and you have those in your late additions packet, and those are highlighted. As you can see, the changes have to do with when Peter and I talked this afternoon about in item 3, just some terminology, and number 5 really to do with the insurance. And the write-up is a combination of Peter's suggested language and the language that was there prior. Everything else in the agreement is as you have seen before that. Peter, do you want to go over a little bit?
Yes. I mean, the only two comments we had. One, it wasn't clear as to the amount of insurance that Holiday would have for purposes of this agreement, whether in general for the maintenance, as well as for any events, which include the mud, sweat, and beers events, but there could be additional events in the future. And because there may be additional events in the future as part of the agreement, we just want to make sure that the township and Holiday are on equal footing as far as making a decision together and mutually agree to any future events as you add items on there. Obviously, we want to balance, or the township wishes to balance, uses which can Holiday would have or Mount Holiday would have, as well as making sure there's sufficient time and access for the public to use the property as well. And so we just made sure that there's, on the insurance provision, that there's at least an initial $1 million, $2 million aggregate on the limit there, and that you receive any notice if there's any changes or cancellations on the insurance, and that insurance also covers any special events such as the annual mud, sweat, and beers, or any additional events which Mount Holiday may throw on the property after you come to an agreement with the township on those events. The rest of the items are pretty standard items, and it looks like a very good partnership, and it's a nice piece of property and should be good for the future of the residents in the township.
Yeah. One of the things when I went to the DNR Trust Fund grant workshop that they stressed, they went through some key components that up the points that you get when you go through the grant process. And one of them was on maintenance agreements, making sure specifically with an acquisition on how you're going to be able to maintain that property. Now, obviously, with the township, and we have 6-7 parks, and we have one person for those parks in that department, how to maintain that in the future became an issue. So as the Conservancy was trying to put this package together, Mount Holiday had made the offer, hey, we can do some maintenance. We're right there. That's something that we could do. Well, not only does that help us and minimize the cost of the township, but it increases the points on the grant workshop, the grant application. Specifically, they mentioned in that workshop that a formal application is worth more points than a formal agreement, rather, is worth more points than an informal agreement or something that's just kind of vaguely outlined. So they like to see that formal agreement. The other thing that they like to see is a long-term agreement, and that's why you'll see the 5-year clause in here. Now, it can be terminated by either party, obviously, but that's why you see that longer term in there. They give more points for those things. Now, I really appreciate Jim being here because he was not involved in the drafting of this, so while he can answer some questions about it, probably the nano details, likely not, and we're a little bit putting him on the spot for that. So.
It's all right. I'm used to it.
Does anybody have any questions? Sure.
Just a general question. Mm-hmm. I know that the township with the Conservancy is pursuing 3 property sections. This agreement discusses all 3 property sections. If one of those sections does not come to fruition, Is that going to change this document? I realize it's not expected to start until 2020, but it does have the amount based on all three properties.
Yeah. No, we planned that on whether it was one property or three. Well, we know it won't be one property. It'll definitely be two. But we're hoping for three, but we know of two. And so, no, it would be the same for two or for three. The additional property, that third, is really a lot of access from Prouty Road, which would be beneficial. I mean, there's other parts to that property too, but that's one of the key points of that property that we're trying to get that. But they were not as further along to know how viable Dixon's property is yet.
My concern, I guess, was based on the dollar amount for the whole thing, would it be less if there was only two parcels?
You know, it's $5,000 per year, so that's a pretty reasonable stipend for that, instead of having our maintenance person out there doing that trail walking and any trail maintenance and that sort of thing. So I didn't intend on it being any different. Like I said, we've been planning on two properties and hoping for that third, so we're including all three in the documents.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do we need to adjust any wording for that? Or
no, I don't think that makes a difference, a material difference, on how you're going to operate, whether you have two or three parcels.
Okay.
You're fine.
Want me to comment on those pieces?
Because
I know you're talking about the Nolan piece and then the part that's now managed by the Woodlands Preserve.
Right.
Holiday Woodlands Preserve.
Those two and then the third one that's
those
on Prouty.
Those first two are the ones where the trail development really is now. I've never even been on the other piece. I know from the bike race perspective and a resident and just a hiker back there, it's those two. The first two are the ones where all the trails are, and if there is any maintenance that, you know, until something's developed on that trail-wise. So the lion's share of everything is on Nolan's and then a little bit on the next piece, and I don't
I think the Dixon's property, what they were thinking is it gives a nice continuation,
right.
And
oh,
a lot
absolutely.
Of access north,
yeah, yeah.
South, east, and west.
Yeah.
And also part of that property, the most southern part of the Dixon property, a place for parking. Because remember, we're not only planning for this for, you know, 2020, we're planning for this in 20 years and 30 and 40, so when we're much more dense than we're used to right now. So did you have any did you have a question next? Did I see your hand go up?
It did, but it's gone.
Oh, okay.
I have it.
Sure, go ahead, Andrea.
Is there currently, or how will it work if you want to expand any of the properties or the grounds for the Mud, Sweat, and Beers bike event? How's that going to work with?
How would it work with this agreement?
Yes.
Well, it would be, that's a good question, because there certainly we've never contemplated an expansion. The only thing we've ever contemplated is a retraction. If the Nolan property went away, how would we get off the Mount Holiday property?
Mm-hmm.
Having not walked the other property, it's never even come up in discussion or consideration in terms of the bike race planning, but I'd assume, you know, in order to do anything beyond what we're doing now, like we do with the DNR, everything, we have to develop a map, go to the DNR, do an application, pay the fee, pay for the maintenance. So would we have to be some kind of written...
You'd come back.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yep, and
it's in there, excited to have utilization for that event,
right?
But not express intent beyond if there's expansion to your event to include that property.
Gotcha. Yeah, probably should be in there. That there should be some kind of.
Do you have anything to add to that, Peter? Or?
Well, the event, I mean, I looked at it from the liability perspective and the maintenance. So even if they add trails to the event, they're still going to be obligated to do the maintenance of those trails at the same fee. Rate as provided in this agreement, so that's not such a bad thing.
Yeah.
Assuming the trails are, you know, to the township's liking, an expansion of the event, you know, whether it's just in scope but not necessarily days, doesn't have much of an impact on this agreement. If it's something though that's going to be monumental, where it becomes almost like adding an event, then maybe you want to take a look at that, where it's just as we're looking at the possibility of other events being added to this contract, and therefore we have insurance to address it, but it opens that up to a mutual agreement between the township and Mount Holiday, which is in the agreement itself. So you'd be back here talking about it.
I think no matter, the way I read this under number three, no matter what event is held there, it's under mutual consent and subject to all the local ordinances. And, of course, we have a local events ordinance, and so we would still do the permitting with respect to that.
I mean, we know about this event. That's why it was included here.
Right. 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 Glenn?
Well, she kind of covered most of my question. The only question I'd have left is, do you use any of the property that we're looking at now? Does Holiday use any of it or not?
Well,
for your event.
For Mud, Sweat, and Beers, we absolutely use the Nolan piece.
Okay.
I get permission from Mr. Nolan and his family every year, and they're included in the insurance as well as there's some other private landholders that also get a certificate of inclusion and insurance at Mount Holiday, and then that's it. We don't go on the Woodland Preserve piece. It's just the Nolan piece. The topography is not good to go anywhere else. It's a little hilly.
Go ahead.
I remembered my question. So you looked at the insurance and you changed the language a little bit. Did the representative of Mount Holiday look at what you...
I did contact John Lynch's firm, and although he's on vacation, his secretary and partner were aware of this agreement, and I told them the general terms that we'd be looking at. And as these are not substantially
huge,
cumbersome or huge, I don't think that there's going to be an issue. Now, they'll have time after us completing this to take a look at that and also agree to it and sign that as well before this is due on April 1st to the DNR Trust Fund along with the application.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? If not, is there a motion for the board to consider?
I would make a motion to approve the maintenance agreement with the changes that were presented in the late edition packet.
Okay.
With Mount Holiday and the property adjacent to Mount Holiday, which may be acquired by the township with a successful DNR trust grant application.
Okay. Is there support for that?
Support.
Okay, motion is made by Bartlett and supported by Walters. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed by no?
No.
Okay, we'll show that Henschel dissents. And Jim, we appreciate you being here very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to our second agenda item, engineering projects. We have Brian Souza here from Wade Trim. Brian, you've got three projects before the board.
Good evening. February was a fun month for bid openings, if you like bid openings. Opened three projects. The Jens Park improvements, which was really taking out the existing boardwalk and replacing that with concrete, along with some other improvements, grills, picnic tables, some bollards, things of that nature, some grading. And then also the phosphate injection project, if you remember, that one was required by the DEQ to get done. We already did that work at the new water tower when we did that project, so that was all set. Essentially, that's installing phosphate injection equipment at the Holiday Hills well site and also at the iron removal plant. And what that does is that provides a coating inside of the water mains to keep minerals from leaching out of the water main into your drinking water, such as what happened in Flint. Is a common thing. So that's a big push by the DEQ. And then the third one, which came late to your desk on Friday, actually, and I apologize for that, was the US 31 Force Main Rehabilitation. And that's that section basically from 4 Mile west to almost 3 Mile. and that is called a CIPP or cured in place pipeliner. It's a fiberglass sock that they put in that forest main. If you remember, that's the forest main that broke when they redid US 31 four years ago. It had several breaks, yeah. So this is going to rehab that, keep it from breaking, keep it in existence. It's a very important forest main for not only East Bay Township but also Acme Township, especially for redundancy. So I guess let me kind of tackle these one at a time. We'd be hoping for some type of approval to move forward. Now, I know two of these I'll talk about where it'd be kind of a conditional approval. But I'll start with the first one, and that's really the phosphate injection project. Again, as I mentioned, that's required by the DEQ. We got one bidder for that. It's always tough to compare bids when you only get one data point. Topline Electric was the only bidder. We know them well. They've done a lot of work for us on other projects very similar to this. They do good work. I just didn't have a number to compare them to. I think their number is good. Probably the biggest part of the cost is the work outside of the building, not just installing pumps in the building, but we've got to get lines underground outside of the building. So, and if you've ever been down to the well house at Holiday Hills, it's kind of a challenging site to get to, let alone dig up once you get down to the bottom of that hill. So I don't have any issue with Topline getting that project. They do good work. Their bid was solid. I think they were around $75,284 even for that project. So if you're interested in moving forward, we'd be looking for a motion to award that project to Topline Electric.
Okay. Are there questions regarding the project from any board member? If not, is there a motion to accept the bid from Topline Electric?
So moved. Support.
Okay, motion made by Lyle and supported by Morrow to approve the bid award for the phosphate injection project to Topline Electric for $75,284. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed by no? Okay, you can notify Topline.
We'll do that. Thank you. The next project is a Jens Park improvement. As I mentioned, taking out the existing boardwalk, really replacing that with concrete, stamped colored concrete, much wider than what the existing boardwalk is now, making it a little more user-friendly, a little more accessible for your maintenance staff to get down to the beach with equipment if they need to, because right now they can't drive anything on that wood boardwalk. It falls apart. So also adds two concrete pads closer to the water for people to have a picnic. Couple grills down there, a couple picnic tables.
ADA.
All ADA accessible. Really a good improvement to that park. We did get three bids on that project. If you notice, the bids were, there was one that was really low and two that were very close to each other. So just so the people in the audience understand, we had one at $23,000 and two at around $61,000 and $63,000. So when you get something like that, it makes you think, all right, would the low bidder miss? You know, I mean, he's a third of the others. So we brought him into the office. I had not worked with them before. Wanted to interview him, talk to him, get some references, make sure he understood the project and what was involved and all the nuances that he may not have picked up on as he went through the documents. And he was on it. I mean, he was a solid guy, great guy to talk to and deal with. His references were solid, does a lot of work for Garfield Township, Peninsula Township, developers in the area. Everybody I talked to liked him, would hire him again. So I'm surprised I haven't run across him before as much as he's done. So I feel comfortable with awarding the project to him. He's been in contact with us a couple times since the bid opening and very interested in doing the project. He wants to try and do this project in May so we could get it done and ready to go for the summer season. So
one of the things, if I might, at the last Park Commission, because they have budgeted for this project, $35,600, I believe, and we had just gotten the bid like the day of the Parks Commission meeting or the day before or something, and so Brian and I really thought that perhaps that lowest bidder, because there was such a big difference, that might not be a viable alternative, and thought that we might be looking at those higher rates. So when I was at the Park Commission, I commented on that to them and said, you know, we might be back looking at if we do this, where we get additional funds from or pull them from, or if you want to continue with the project at all. So, you know, said we'd be back for more information. Well, then I get the call from Brian, and I was like, when I got the message, I thought, oh, this is going to be the higher one, and I was so surprised to get his phone call and follow-up email about particularly the solid references, very solid references, and how he had been over the project very thoroughly. So the crux of it is the bid plus the engineering fees to date plus the costs of the tables and bike racks and grills all adds up to $34,328.15. So I took that and multiplied that by about 10% because we're going to have some engineering expense on site while they're doing this, testing the concrete and so forth. So that came to about $37,760. So I rounded that, you'll see, to $38,000 in the motion. I did, though, however, forget to mention that part of this project, too, that we didn't have on there, and I would like to just kind of package it with that, is the $3,100 we have in redoing the asphalt parking lot there, because we have some roots coming up that is breaking the asphalt through. And it needs to be sealed again, like we sealed ours last year. And we got a bid on that of $3,100, which was quite a bit lower. It was Global who bid that than the others. I've checked their references, and they came across. I asked some supervisors if they had used them, and I had good references given to me from them as well. I called them last year and asked them if they could hold that because we weren't going through with it and the time that we thought we were. And they said, yep, they can hold that price, anything except for, you know, the asphalt. Sometimes that changes a little bit. But they were willing to honor that $3,100 price. So with that, the whole project becomes $41,100. And so what Brian and I talked about today, because it's just slightly over. It's over the 35.6 that the Parks Commission has planned. I would like to have the board think about a motion which approves it contingent upon the Parks Commission concurrence with that, because this is out of their budget money.
And they meet next Monday?
They do. So we don't even have to delay the bid. I mean, we could approve it as soon as they decide to go forward with it or not and decide where those funds are coming. We can then notify the bidder. We don't have to delay that another 30 days to hear. Any comments on the project? Okay. Is there a motion?
I would make a motion to approve the bid award for Jen's Park site improvement to TC Concrete in the amount of $23,511.25, and authorize the township administration to additionally facilitate improvements with on-site engineering through wade trim and amenities of 2 picnic tables, 2 grills, bike racks, and the resurfacing and repairing of the parking lot to not exceed $41,500.
Okay. And concurrence from the Park Commission?
And concurrence from the Park Commission.
Okay.
The next meeting.
Is there support for that motion? Okay. Motion is made by Bartlett. It's supported by Henschel. Is there any further questions or discussion? Yes, Mindy.
Do we need to add that the $3,100 goes to Global Asphalt?
I think we're okay because she added that in the list of things. She didn't add, I mean.
She didn't add the who.
I didn't add the who. I just added.
Oh, the $3,100, I think we can, yeah, do that. That's probably a very good suggestion.
I would include that the parking lot repair and resurfacing would be awarded to Global
Asphalt.
I can't remember. You know that company. It's on South Airport Road, Global.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Quite a bit of work in there.
Yep.
Global, and then.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. And I'll be bringing back to you probably likely the purchases for the picnic tables and so forth. The township, again, will be purchasing those, and then the vendor, the contractor, will just coordinate with the vendor and delivery and so forth.
Is the township buying them, or is the parks buying them out of their funding?
The parks buying them out of that, the 35-6 out of their whole budget there. Yeah, which they'll, like I said, they'll probably pull some funding out of their contract services. They have a decent amount in there, so they'll probably pull that 4,400 or roughly so out of there, is my guess. Any other questions, comments? Okay, a motion was made by Bartlett and supported by Henschel. Okay. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed by no? Okay, we're good, Brian.
Cool, thank you. And finally, the last one, the US 41, US 31 Force Main Rehab. We received two bidders on that. There was kind of a little glitch in that process, so just to kind of give you the Cliff's Notes of that, when we opened bids, we had one bidder at the time. And I'm thinking, you know, come on. I mean, I know they're specialty projects. There's not a lot of companies that do this cured-in-place pipeliner, but we've been talking with several over the course of a month that had, a ton of questions. So as soon as Damien leaves, get a call from Val, said, hey, we just got another bid. Well, typically, we take that into consideration before we even open the bid, you know, the second bid, and we say, okay, is this what happened here? What's going on? Because when we open a bid, it's a public bid opening. We read the number aloud. What we don't want to happen is somebody to sit out in the truck, hear that number, find out about it, change their number, come in and say, oh, I was 5 minutes late, can I open this bid? Okay, so what happened in this instance is the second bidder was delivered by FedEx, so that bid was actually sent a day before, okay, and the guy that sent it thought the bid opening was at 2, because there was the original bid opening. I guess I should step back a little bit. This was to be opened a week ago. We extended it 1 week to give the bidders some more time. They requested more time, so we said, okay, no problem. But we moved it from originally being at 2 to the new bid time was 10.
So this, not only did this bidder think it was at 2, both supervisors thought it was at 2
right.
as well.
Yeah, so there was some confusion there. But long story short, it being delivered by FedEx, there's no way that company could have altered their bid based on what we opened. So it would be considered a minor nonconformance in the bidding process, and there is language in that whole contract that says the township can waive any informalities of the bidding process if it's in their best interest. We didn't know what the number was. Obviously, we opened it, and they were the high bidder. But still, we need to make sure we go through those proper steps before we even open the bids, and everything was on the up and up. So that's how we got two bids. One came in at $904,240.60 by in situ form, and the other one was Kenny Construction at $1,169,327. So those two numbers are about, $260,000 apart. For a project that size, we would consider those fairly close. That kind of shows that there's not a whole lot of ambiguity, a whole lot of questions, a whole lot of things up in the air that might make a contractor increase his bid or do something wild. I will note that the low bidder is higher than what we estimated a little over a year ago. A couple reasons for that. One is the estimate that we did a year ago, that's before any design is done. So that's a preliminary estimate. But typically we want to be closer than we were. Two of the biggest items are, one, MDOT finally got us some information on traffic control for that project, which is going to be a two-lane shift for the whole half mile. It's a lot different than what we were anticipating, plus concrete barriers for each one of the access holes that we have to dig in to get to the existing force main that's underground. So that's a big expense. Additionally, there was another access point that this bidder wanted to use, or added into their bid. Instead of having 4, they wanted 5. So, and we kind of left that open to each manufacturer, because some of them can do a longer pole, some of them were shorter poles. So this one took more pits than expected. So it is higher than our original estimate. Now, What you need to understand with these numbers is Acme Township is also involved, would be involved in this project because of the agreement between the two townships, okay? And I know Beth has put Acme Township on notice that we were going through the project and that we would keep them up to speed with everything. They do have a copy of our, or their engineer has a copy of the bid tab and know what the costs were. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Jay or got a hold of him at all.
Did talk to Jay today.
Okay. All right. So, so we'd be looking for an award on this project. Again, this is a very important force main that goes from your pump station at the end of 4 Mile and pumps it all the way to your pump station on by Indian Trail. Serves a big area of the township, also serves or can serve a big area or all of Acme Township. All right, so it's an important force main to have in place for redundancy if something was to happen on the force main that's along Tart Trail that was put in a year ago. Everything can be directed here and taken care of and not have a big part of your constituents out of service. So if the township is interested, what we would like to do, and I don't want to take words out of your mouth, Beth, but would be have an award conditional upon the approval or conditional upon the agreement being executed or acknowledged between East Bay and Acme on who's going to cover what cost, and both sides agreeing.
Yeah, I think we were talking about, conditional approval of the bid award upon actually Peter's review. So, as you guys know, this came to us late last week, and so Peter and I haven't had a chance to sit down, and I want to make sure that everything's firm and in place with Acme Township because it's a substantial portion of the cost of this project. And so while we do have those things in place, I've followed that agreement between Acme and East Bay. I still want to make sure we have all of our I's dotted and T's crossed on this project before we do that. However, we really don't want to delay until the next board meeting 30 days because, as Brian pointed out, it gets to be tough with some of the traffic control the further into the season we push the construction. So we would like to award it as soon as we're confident and have those things lined up. Does that sound fine with you, Peter? I mean, I guess I don't think we talked much about this.
Right. That's fine. We'll put the rush order on it and look at it closely.
Sounds good. Any questions from the board on this project?
Did Jay have anything to say?
I just told him that that the bids came in and that the bid tab was forwarded over to Gosling Zubek. He was aware of it because he did take a look at it, even asked some questions on some of the pipe quantities. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to refer you to Brian on that one. And he said, no, he said, I'll let the engineers just kind of look at it and ask any questions of each other. So, but I would like to make sure that we have all the documents in line and so forth. And as soon as we do that, then we can, Peter and I look, okay, yes, I have supplied information, I've supplied letters to Acme Township along the way of here's the project, we're bidding it out, and so forth. Now I need to supply one regarding the bids and this award and how we'll go through the repayment. And I talked real briefly with the accountant today, and basically what we would probably take a look at is we would front that those funds, and then as we get large, portions of it paid, then we would bill Acme Township for that. So I also did talk with the accountants about the sufficient funds in the 590 fund, and we do have sufficient cash to float the entire project, and yes, we have the funds to do which would be roughly half of the project as our responsibility. Go ahead.
What percentage between Acme do we have that?
Yeah, that is still the stated percentage. That document hasn't been amended. I haven't looked at it in a little bit, Glenn, but you know it was right about 50-50 almost.
Yeah, it was about 48-52. Is what it was.
Okay.
Yep. Any other questions, or is there a motion for the board to consider? Or should we try to craft one?
I would make a motion to approve based on getting Acme's all the paperwork. Yeah.
We'll do, how about a motion to award the bid to
in situ form
upon. What do I have when I say?
Well, just upon review of legal counsel. I'm sure it'll be also reviewed by Acme's legal counsel as
right.
well.
So right.
Enough
okay.
charge. Yep.
Okay. Is there support for that motion?
Support.
Okay. A motion has been made and supported. Any further discussion?
Do you want an amount?
What is the amount on that?
$904,240.60.
Great. Thank you, Ann. Appreciate that. Motion has been made by Lyle and supported by Walters. No further discussion? Okay. We'll do a roll call vote on that. Ann?
Sure. Lyle?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Cortade?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Brian. This has been a lot of work.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
One quick update, Grace McDonald, we will have a bid opening, or we have a bid opening scheduled for the end of this month, and so that will be in front of the board in April.
Look forward to it.
Thank you.
We're keeping Brian busy when the accountant said today, my gosh, you guys are busy for a little time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the water and sewer payment plan. If you recall, I brought to you last month was an updated resolution. We had the last resolution was from 2014-5 and brought forward a resolution. I've taken those comments that you had into account. You actually have the latest version in your late additions packet. And any changes are highlighted, so they're easy for you to notice from what was in your original packet. And that is, we distinguish the lateral charges by any lateral charges. The ones that can be put on a payment plan are those lateral or per foot front charges that are constructed and funded by East Bay Township. That was based on discussion Glenn and I had talked about and made the most sense. Otherwise, we're really financing someone else. Yeah, exactly. Someone else's repayment. So that definition is put in there. And then the other change is I moved a bunch of the whereas clauses to the resolved. I think I got a little wordy and a little on a roll with my whereases, and Peter's like, yeah, some of these need to be moved to the resolved. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Part of your resolution itself, so they're going to be shifted over.
Right. So those are the changes that you see. Glenn, you had mentioned, or I think all of us had actually mentioned or agreed, about what happens when there's a payment plan and something goes awry. And, of course, on here we have that if they don't, number 10 tells you if there's a payment plan that becomes delinquent by 60 days or greater. Now, that wasn't just pulled out of the air. That was based on discussions with John DeVozzo. He went over this as well, and that is the manager of the DPW. And he said that's when it really kicks in for them. So to do anything sooner is not kind of in their process. So I went with that. Let's see. Everything else they were pretty in sync with and fine with. Trying to think if there was anything else at a particular. Entire amount shall be due and placed as a lien on the tax roll for the real property in any manner and to the fullest extent authorized by law. And then Peter and I talked further, the way to really guard against then someone picking up that property and then benefiting from those benefits that have already been paid is to actually put that in our water and sewer ordinance. Do you want to explain that a little bit further?
Well, yeah, the idea is to make sure that if the property gets turned over or ends up, you know, through a tax sale and turned over and the items are not fully paid, that the water and sewer ordinance has a provision coming back in and saying, you know, if this is not completed, you're going to have to complete it under this police power ordinance. And that way somebody doesn't simply get a clean slate and a bit of a free ride ahead of time. So that's the idea of placing that language back in that ordinance, because it'll apply to the successor party, successor owner.
And we're just not out those funds then.
Right. Yep.
So this document will take care of the first person, the
That's
primary
right.
person. Mm-hmm. Now, that water and sewer ordinance change, as you guys know, we're through the BPW partnering with four other townships, and we're looking at redrafting that ordinance. The RFQ for that has gone out and was due March 8th. Those were received by the DPW and John DeVozzo, kind of tabulating those and putting those together with a recommendation. So we will be redrafting those water and sewer ordinances in pretty short order, with the large amount of the work, well, hopefully all of that work, to be concluded before July is kind of our target date. So we would just wrap Peter's suggestion into those, that rewrite of that, those ordinances. Does anybody have any questions on this? Is this
when you talk about that, if somebody was to get water and sewer benefits, if they started a project before the ordinance, water and sewer ordinance, was updated, did they still fall under it?
Once it's a police power ordinance, it applies immediately.
Okay.
So, you know, frankly, if you're going to have a tax foreclosure sale or something, we're already in that range right now, it would appear that you're going to have that ordinance ready before the next cycle comes anyway. Because that's the biggest danger is, you know, when somebody goes belly up and doesn't, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions?
What is resolution number?
I think we were starting on number 9. Is that
nine.
Correct? Okay.
Nine?
So it would be 2019-9. Are you making that motion, Glenn?
I would make the motion to adopt resolution 2019-9, resolution establishing payment plan for water and sewer benefit payments and lateral charges.
Is there support for that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, the motion is made by Lyle and supported by Morrow. Ann, we'll do a roll call vote.
Lyle?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Forte?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. We will get that to the DPW. We will move on to the Land Division Ordinance 2019. Well, it'll be 20. Well, Land Division Ordinance, it'll be a first ordinance this year,
wouldn't
it?
It is the first ordinance, so it's 01-2019.
Okay, very good. This was brought forward from Susan Caracos, you'll recall, about 2 months ago. And Peter, I know Brian worked on this more.
Brian drafted the ordinance. Correct.
Right, exactly. Are you familiar with the kind of the premise of what they were doing?
Well, I took a look at all the back notes and the emails and read them over to get an idea of what some of the issues were. And it appears that the main issues involve making sure that, A, the ordinance is complied with, including questions over access easements, private roads, and lot sizes for each district. So if somebody applies for a land division and they don't meet any or fail to meet even one of these provisions in the zoning ordinance, the division's not going to be approved. And the second issue involved allowing for land divisions in certain situations where survey is not necessarily required. You may have a fairly square piece of property located in northeast or southeast section where it's pretty easy to draft the legal description and do the split. And therefore, if it's not absolutely necessary to have a survey, you can still have documentation, which the ordinance talks about, as to how they came about with the legal description, whether it's a letter or something else. Of that nature, explaining how that division came about, and it's up to the assessor's discretion then to determine whether or not that's sufficient for purposes of moving forward with the division and putting it out there. So there's some discretionary language in there allowing the assessor to, you know, take a look at that. And that seems to be the only two main issues that occurred. Otherwise, Brian is the land division expert, so not much I can say beyond that.
Appreciate that, Peter. Attached, you have in this agenda item the emails from Susan Caracos with Brian, the summary and the actual land division ordinance, and then you have the current one, 2013-3. Are there any questions regarding this? Mindy?
I have a question about the use of the term registered. If you look at Section 5A4 and Section 5A6, the Section 5A4, the third line.
Give me that page number.
113 of 42. 114 of 142.
Thank you.
Okay. After the term amended, it says certified by a land surveyor licensed in the state of Michigan in Section 4. But in Section 6, it says certified by a registered land surveyor licensed by the state of Michigan.
Yeah, I would keep those terms consistent, so that's fine.
So you need to take the registered out, or you put it in?
I would just take it out.
I concur.
Okay, so we would strike the registered from item number 6, correct? Section 5, number 6?
A6.
A6. Okay, any other questions on that, or on the ordinance? If there are no other questions, is there a motion with respect to that ordinance?
Weren't you going to do public comment on this?
Oh, I was going to. Thank you so very much. This was the first one. Great. I didn't miss any. We are having public comment on this land division ordinance. Now's the time if you'd like to address the board with respect to the land division ordinance that we are looking at. You may, and state your name and address, and we'd be happy to hear your comments. Okay. So we'll take that back to the board and ask if there is a motion on the land division ordinance.
I'll make a motion to approve Land Division Ordinance 01-2019.
Okay, that motion, is there support for that motion? Okay, motion has been made by Walters and supported by Bartlett. Any other discussion? Okay, and we'll do a roll call vote.
Walters?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Forte?
Yes.
Merrill?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
And Friend?
Yes. All right, thank you very much. We'll move on to marijuana policy. In front of the board, we have Resolution 2019-10 for medical marijuana. As well, we have Ordinance Number 2 of 2019. The ordinance prohibiting marijuana establishments within the township, and that is related to the recreational marijuana. In your packet for the board, we have a statement of opting out of the medical marijuana facilities, a summary of the ordinance plus the ordinance, and then an MTA article on marijuana. We are going to accept public comment during this agenda item, so if anybody would like to make public comment on the medical marijuana resolution or the recreational marijuana ordinance, please feel free to step up to the podium, introduce yourself, and let the board know your comments. Okay, seeing no public comment, we'll bring that back to the board. Peter, would you walk us through both of those, the recreational and the medical?
It's pretty straightforward. I mean, the law allows the townships to make a decision as to whether or not they wish to have these facilities, including the background facilities such as the grow operations and some of the commercial activity that's ongoing, you know, just to supply medical as well as recreational marijuana. The law allows the state law, the township, to either allow them within the townships or make a decision not to have them in the township. You can always change your mind. The ordinance can always be repealed, but the current ordinance here would prohibit that within the township.
Okay. Is there discussion by the board? Your comments on either?
Has there been any... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Has there been more movement in the state about how when they're going to figure out?
It's required by December 6th, I believe.
Correct.
But there's been some maneuvering. I understand that the governor is taking a second look at that and perhaps changing things around to speed the process up. But at this point, that's the date.
Okay. Thank you.
Tracy?
What does this do to maybe forgetting something? In our zoning, we now have patient care facilities, I think it is, approved in industrial. Does that take them out completely now? The zoning ordinance has, or it did have, I don't know if it's been, I don't think it's been removed, have the ability to have marijuana facilities in the industrial zoning district. And I just didn't know if that, if this
medical care type, right?
So, Peter, this is a police power ordinance.
It is. And it doesn't change the zoning. What it changes is the background operations as well as the recreational.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I was still clear that.
You may recall probably in the news a while back, Kingsley was looking at a grow operation, which wasn't a dispensing facility.
Right.
It was mainly a supply facility, and they went back and forth and decided, I think the company actually pulled out before they made a decision.
Did.
That's what you're dealing with these ordinances.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood the.
Sure.
Any further questions? If there aren't, and if this is the direction the board chooses to go in, the motions are on the cover sheet, and that would be a statement. The first is a statement regarding the medical marijuana, and then the second is the ordinance. And actually, I believe I have... Let me see if this is right, Peter. I have this down listed on the agenda as a resolution. It's actually not a resolution.
It's an ordinance. You have a summary, though, as well.
No.
That's for publication.
But that's for the ordinance for the recreational.
Yes.
For the medical, it's not a resolution. It's actually just a statement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I apologize on your agenda. It says resolution 2019-. Mm-hmm. So that would just be crossed out. So that, again, that would be the statement. And then the second motion, if we choose to do so, would be the adoption of ordinance number 2 of 2019. Is there a motion that someone would like to make? Okay, I will move to approve that East Bay Charter Township Board of Trustees hereby states that it does not intend to enact any ordinance under the Medical Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act, being Act 281 of the Public Acts of 2016, to hereby authorize any marijuana facility, i.e. grower, processor, secure transporter, provisioning center, or safety compliance facility anywhere within East Bay Charter Township. And I have that statement for you, and Peter drafted it. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Is there support for that motion?
I would support it.
Motion's been made by Friend and supported by Bartlett. Any further discussion? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed by no? Okay. Would the board like to take any action on ordinance number 2 of 2019?
Make a motion to approve ordinance 2 of 2019 and act. Do I need to read the whole thing?
Actually, there I think you just need
an ordinance prohibiting marijuana establishes mints within the township.
I think you're good to go with that.
Okay.
Motion is made by Walters and supported by Henschel. Is there any further discussion? Okay, and we'll do a roll call vote.
Walters?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Merrill?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Forte?
Yes.
And Fred?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to item number 6. That is the appraisal quotes for the Michigan Tax Tribunal. Carrie Zeitz is the attorney who is handling this for us. Susan Caracos, Russ Castleman, Jim Baker are all very involved with this and well aware of this. These are two proposals for appraisal services, Zachritz at $4,800 and Sill of $6,900. We have two pending Michigan Tax Tribunal cases specifically that went straight to the Tax Tribunal that don't have to any longer come to the Board of Review, and that is Olson's and Center Ice. So we're in the process of those. Just as information for both of you, or for all of you, for both of these cases, Center Ice is one, again, where they are contesting the exempt status and the valuation both. So where we attend, Tom Greer is handling that, who has handled this case before for the township. Right now, we have agreed to bifurcate the cases, and so the valuation, the exempt question is answered before the valuation, because clearly, if the exempt is answered in one way, the valuation might not be relevant. As well, there is a similar case in a downstate county. And so we are looking at how we might pair with them to be the most efficient and the most thorough. So that's kind of where they're at now. So the attorneys are discussing that with the judge and have been in conference with the assessors and the supervisors as well. So we are getting, in anticipation, prices for those appraisal too of Center Ice, just preliminary to have those if we need them. Those wouldn't be needed for some time, but we'll have those. Olson's is one that was adjusted about 4 years ago, I believe. And the township stipulated to a value. It has only gone up by their taxable value has only gone up by the amount that's capped at cost of living or 5%. Correct?
Yeah, whichever's less.
Yep, whichever's
generally
less.
Generally, it's been less than 5%.
Exactly. But they are still appealing their valuation. And so I would just like to have these. I do not know that yet we will need an appraisal. We may not need an appraisal. But should we, I would like to have these in our back pocket so I can move forward with them in a timely manner for the tax tribunal if necessary. We did work at getting a third one. These were actually not as easy to get as you think. I think we had one person who had a conflict and so forth. So instead of waiting for a third one, we are still trying to get a third one. And if it does come in less, then I will bring that to you. But right now, these are the two that I know that I have, and I would like to get an approval on one of those, obviously being the lower, which is Zachritz at $4,800. Is there questions? If there's not, is there a motion? Or
well, my only comment is, since this has been discussed in a public forum, if this third one comes in at $4,700, no.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. But we've had a hard time, like I said, getting these quotes, and so that's why I wanted to get them to you and have this so we could move forward with this case. But yeah, that's of course correct. Sure. So
I would make a motion to approve the proposal for appraisal service from Zachritz. Not to exceed $4,800 to be utilized if Michigan Tax Tribunal case it advances to the necessary of an appraisal.
Okay. Support. Motion has been made by Lyle and supported by Henschel. Is there further discussion? Okay. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed by no? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you for your consideration of that. We will continue working on that case to get it resolved. Okay. We have next on the agenda, and this is in your supplemental packet, and that is the job description of the planner. as all of you know, you've received the email. Our township planner, Rick Brown, will be retiring. And as I was looking at posting this and the schedule and so forth, I started looking at the position description. And it was a little different out of format from what we have on some of the others, not a big deal. But in most, the position title I felt needed to be amended. Director of Planning and Zoning, I thought more accurately reflected than right what's currently on the books has him listed as the planner and zoning administrator, which of course Leslie Criterier is our zoning administrator. So in order to be more accurate, Director of Planning and Zoning would be the title. And then the only other thing that was changed in this kind of quick time frame was showing that our office hours are 4 10.5-hour days rather than 5 8-hour days. And that's on the end of page 3 of 3. So I would like to request that the board approve the job description. And I can move forward with that. Are there any questions regarding that? It's pretty lengthy. I found it was a 4-page document. And so just by adapting the formatting, I took it to 3 pages. And I think this could later be kind of carved up and simplified. But in starting to take a look at this, I wanted to get this rolling. Because believe it or not, those dates come a lot quicker than you think. And when you're, you know, dealing with other workload issues too, you want to have the time to adequately post it and get in the interviews and so forth. Does anybody have any questions on what was changed?
No, I'd make a motion to approve the proposed job description.
Okay. Is there support for that?
Support.
Okay. Motion has been made by Bartlett and supported by Lyle. Any further discussion from the board? Okay. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed by no? Okay, that motion passes. Thank you. Metro request. So in your packet, you'll see that we had a meeting on March 7th at 2 p.m. that covered the wage study. And it was requested at the end of that meeting. I had to leave for a 3 o'clock meeting, but I guess the discussion continued and... well, I guess Glenn was there, so I'll let him.
It was brought up that they would like to, because it's going to be some...
You might want to put your microphone down there, Glenn.
I'm sorry about that. It's going to be the second or third week in April when...
April 17th is when mediation's scheduled.
Mediation. And they thought they had some time now, between now and then. They'd like to sit down and see if they couldn't come to some kind of a... agreement before mediation, because that'd save the cost of the mediation. And both Garfield and Acme would like to do that. I told them I couldn't speak for the board without coming back to the board and finding out what they want. So that's where we stand on it.
Okay. Also included in the information for you is a second page which says affirmative vote and then has different things that they would want an affirmative vote on. As your header says, this is the Garfield request for that affirmative vote that they provided at the last township board meeting. So the question becomes before the board is, is that something that you would like for us to do with respect to the Metro Authority. Taking my chairperson hat off for a second and just speaking as one board member, I will tell you that I believe that we are well served by going through mediation. I've seen mediation be a positive experience firsthand, and I have not seen the workshops be tremendously productive. Having said that, if the board wishes for us to go through this exercise, we will most certainly do that in the most earnest manner. We have just though, approved the minutes of placing the representatives for mediation and gone through that. I know, looking at my calendar, I am out 2 weeks before I could even attend. I can't do it this week, and I can't next week either. So I'm until the 2 weeks from today. That week, I'm clear. I mean, I could meet any day that week for a special meeting. So I don't know what Glenn's calendar looks like. Okay.
Well, the week of April 1 is out for the majority of the board members. Yeah. That's MTA.
Right. Well, it would be the week before that. So this week and the week of the 18th I couldn't do, but the week of the 25th I could.
Which is spring break.
So, but, you know, we can, and I don't know, that may impact other board members. And then we're getting close to April 17th. So I look to the rest of you for your guidance and input.
I just want to continue with the mediation.
Other comments or questions?
Made it that far.
Okay.
I guess the question in my mind is, the chemistry of the group is going to be, it's going to be the same thing as it previously was, right? Or I'm trying to envision who's...
Oh, from the most recent workshops to this next workshop? It would be the same Metro Authority, yes. It would be the same board members.
I'm just...
You have a lot of experience with mediation.
The dynamic of mediation is supposed to, you know, take out that the OMA, right? Because you're removing the board member or having that. This then would fall again under OMA. So you have the same dynamics, right? The same things going on, the same environmental status, relationship, power, all of those other things that are spearhead of controlling factors, you know, the spearhead of conflict are three things: relationships, information, or resources. Anytime you have any of those out of imbalance, you're going to have conflict. Mediation is brought in to change something. What does this change? That's my question. So I would say go ahead with mediation.
Any other comments? Mindy?
My concern is the Metro staff. If we say, you know what, we're done, we're going to mediation, is that, you know, they're sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for the Metro Board or Garfield Township to decide what the heck we are doing, if we can come to an agreement or if we are going to separate, whatever it is that it is going to be. These people are getting super stressed, looking for other jobs, getting ready to, you know, figure out what they're going to do. And if we say, no, we're not willing to show up at the table, I think that that's really bad for our firefighters. And we've got some really great people on our team that I don't want to think that we're not willing to negotiate, that we're so headstrong, and that's not the right way to put it, that we're not willing to even talk to anybody anymore. I think we have to. I think we have got to, you know, even if we don't make any progress,
show up.
We showed up. So I think we have to.
Tracy, were you? I don't know that. Did you raise your hand or not? Or am
no.
I? Oh, okay. Well, I don't need to. You don't have to speak then.
I guess I'm going to speak. We've been at the table since last July. We've shown up every single time. We've done what was asked of us. We've looked at it from the aspect of the three townships in Metro. If this document changes at the next special meeting or the next Metro meeting, it's one more can down the road that's been kicked. They've already said they're leaving December of 2019. That date is coming so quickly. And what's to have them say, oh, no, we really didn't mean this way after we've agreed to it. We really want this. I really think we are at a point, not that I want mediation, but we need to start having the discussion on what's going to happen January 1 of 2020. We can't continue to sit, and mediation is going to stop being that elephant in the room on the what ifs. They're going to come up with their determination. As a professional mediator, they're going to look at this without the politics, without the emotions. It may not be what we want it to be. We then would have that meeting to say yes or no. But to say let's halt mediation now because it's the 13th hour and you guys have stalled and changed and not been willing to negotiate and come to the table, I'm not comfortable with that.
Sure. Mindy?
If we show up to the table, does this mean we're not going to mediation?
No.
I was going to say.
No, we're still going to mediation.
So it's not instead of.
No. Okay. Yeah. That's how I interpreted it.
I guess my thought behind it would be if by some chance that everybody at that table could agree on something, I believe that the resolution to leave Metro would have to be pulled by the board, by their board.
Before mediation would be
canceled. And then we would go forward.
Recall that they have had an offer put forth to them at the January 16th meeting. I looked at kind of just what everyone was asking mm-hmm. for and said, okay, this is important to ACME. ACME gets this. This is important to Garfield. Garfield gets this. This is important to East Bay. Here's what we get. And that offer was that we would, number one, we have signaled that we would be acceptable to changing the leases. Okay, that's something that we've agreed that we don't think is in the best interest of Metro, but we would consider doing if that's what the other townships are hard-pressed to do. You know, that's what they truly want to do. The ACME Township, it's very important to them to have the tribe incorporated into the Articles of Incorporation. They are not now. And so the lawyers do a memorandum of understanding. They would prefer to have the tribe written into the Articles of Incorporation. I'm not so sure that there's not a legal way to do some other type of agreement, but that's what they would prefer. The attorney would prefer, and that's what ACME would prefer. So I said, hey, okay, we'll agree to the leases. You both wanted that. We'll agree to changing the bylaws for simply the tribe, which is important to ACME. We didn't really want to change anything in the articles. And then, what was the third thing, Glenn? Oh, God.
No, they've got on here. They don't have it on here as far as taxes. And I think we're probably all on the same page with that, you know, leave it the way it is going forward. I don't know if that's a breaking point. They got on here electing officers that it would be affirmative vote from each township, which I don't have a problem with that either. The policies that there's some things, and probably majority of them within Articles of Incorporation, the stuff that people talked about changing, you could do it with a policy rather than open up the articles. You know, I don't know where it'd go. I was surprised when we seen this as far as some of the stuff that was really at a boiling point several months ago seemed to disappear here. I guess, I don't know. I guess I don't understand, or if we had a set down, either it's going to work or it's not going to work, and we're still got mediation. So, again,
just going back simply to that offer that was made to them, which is change the bylaws for the tribe, change the leases, and then really what our takeaway is, East Bay's, is that we changed the bylaws in a very limited way because we did not want to change those bylaws.
Right.
And so we're getting that. ACME is getting the tribe, and Garfield had wanted those leases changed. And that never, I watched the subsequent Garfield meeting right after January 16th, because at that January 16th meeting, Glenn and I both said we would be willing to take this to the board and we think we could get this passed. And ACME Township indicated the same thing. Garfield Township, you know, obviously wasn't sure. But at the next subsequent meeting, Sue and I both watched that, and that offer was not even mentioned at their meeting.
Well, the other thing that I've noticed is, and I'm probably speaking on a turn again, is this amount of the budget that they want, it keeps changing.
Things keep changing on this list, period.
Well, and honestly, we were asked for what changes we would want to see, if any. And you recall we had a special meeting in July regarding that. Those minutes that indicated all of those went straight to Metro by August of that year. ACME Township went through a similar process. I don't understand quite the process that Garfield went through, because we did get some information. It wasn't clear if that was part of the board, all of the board, none of the board. And then we went straight to hearing about their notification of intent to withdraw, resolution of intent to withdraw. And we did get some clarifying information after that, that they had some board discussions, but they were never clear during those workshops on what their affirmative vote from each township meant, whether that was every vote, some votes, partial votes. We were never clear, even through January 16th. So we just subsequently got this at the February board meeting, and it really, that's what was asked for.
Right, in July.
Last July, yeah, exactly.
I don't think so, because if you look at the meeting minutes, this percentage keeps changing.
Yeah, I'm all for showing up, because Metro is amazing and they need the support. So I agree with Mindy on that. But, you know, if things don't change. And so, yeah, that's maybe a negative play out, but this list that I see just in my limited time of dealing with it keeps changing.
So do we want to schedule a special meeting to discuss this further? Is that what you're looking to do?
No, I think we can just have some direction from the board, and if the board would prefer that we take steps to help schedule that special workshop with Metro for the Metro board, we will certainly do that. And as I said, we'll earnestly try to make some headway. But if you would prefer us to wait to mediation, that's a fair request as well.
Meet with hesitant optimism.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
But if we do ask you to try and meet ahead of time, do you feel comfortable with our position on these items?
I feel very comfortable with what I floated to them January 16th. I feel very comfortable with that. I feel like everyone walks away with something that they wanted.
I'm comfortable with it. I mean, I was surprised to see this, because there was several other things that were always on the table and they're not mentioned in here. So, I mean, I don't know if there's pressure coming from someplace. I have no idea, but
the other thing that's interesting about this list is there are some things in there, I'm not sure, like they have affirmative vote on articles of incorporation items. We already have a higher threshold than that. I mean, you really don't need an affirmative vote on that from every jurisdiction at the Metro board level. You have to go to every board and have them approve that. So it's a much higher threshold.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, although a majority could approve that, and it would have to go to the townships.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But a board that was not in favor of it would just start that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so I'm hearing then, I guess I'm not sure with Tracy and Sue, I'm hearing from Mindy and Andrea, you know, go ahead and meet with some trepidation, I'm hearing.
I agree that for the sake of saying that we're all in, that that's important that we show up as, that we show up. But this, it feels an awful lot like a Hail Mary, is what it feels like.
I totally agree.
Okay.
I think we have to be there for our employees.
So by showing up doesn't mean we're agreeing to this list.
No, not at all.
It means that we're going to show up.
And just so you know, and I think you do know, I mean, Glenn and I have always been at every meeting, you know, up to date on the information given to us. I feel like we have tried to look at things from the perspective of when we're at those authority meetings, of what's best for the authority. And yes, East Bay, but primarily when we're there through regular decisions, it's what's best for the authority. Mm-hmm. And we'll undertake this endeavor in the same way. Are you okay with that, Brian?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you have to show good faith, I believe, but I think it's going to end up in mediation. And it comes right down to it.
Okay, so Glenn and I will, if we're all fine with that, Glenn and I will let Metro Administration know that they can schedule a meeting. We'll attend, and we'll let you know what comes of that, and hopefully we'll have some good results for you. But if nothing else, it's some more information before we go to mediation. So, all right, we will move forward with the next agenda item. Andrea, you added this. This is the short-term rental May 1st date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have some issue with May 1 because when it's coming up, there's a lot of things to address in that. Calling into question why some of the things that are definitely inaccurate in the ordinance are not addressed, such as the certification of well and septic mm-hmm. professional. There is, you know, reading through it and then looking at the application myself. I know we have the Q&A. There's a lot of ambiguity, the lack of clarity when people come in and to apply. I think the whole process that we have set up right now is not transparent, and that feels like a disservice to people that own property that do that and do the short-term rentals or people that are considering it. There's things that I don't understand as a trustee, and I personally don't want to get ambushed a couple weeks out before the deadline. So I'd like that deadline extended past May 1.
Okay.
Because it wasn't on here. I had to ask for some documents that I, you know, that I wanted to see. And I personally would like to take this a little more to task.
I think that before I ask for further board input, I think that taking a look at that May 1st date is probably a good idea. As we've gone through the information from the attorney with counsel and with staff, there are quite a lot of, as when you have anything thrown at you, they throw everything at the wall to see what sticks, kind of a analogy. So some of that does not have merit, and some of it does, and we're addressing those issues. Now, probably the easiest sense when we looked at is we're going through and isolating those and coming up with the terminology, the correct terminology, or not correct, but an enhanced terminology for a couple sections of the ordinance. Mm-hmm. And to do that, obviously, we need two hearings or two, not hearings, but two meetings to pass an ordinance, so or an amendment to an ordinance. So obviously, we only have two meetings, tonight's meeting and April's meeting, before May 1st, because we don't have that May meeting.
And I like your idea of having the workshops, opening it up and having people come in and talk in. For my own benefit, you had said, you know, possibly having an open house.
Oh, we did.
That dynamic to get some more input.
Yeah.
And so there also is, you know, as we're moving and having some other things, I'd like some information as to why things don't have merit. Because as someone that doesn't have that kind of a background, but yet I'm a trustee, I kind of feel like this role requires that I'm able to appropriately respond to people. And not just necessarily, I appreciate the documents. I do appreciate that you sent me those. But at the same time, I would like to know exactly, but let's work that out a little bit. There were some things in there that I read, and it was, you know, who gets to evaluate that? That seems...
Well, the nine different points on the ordinance we're going through with council, clearly. The requests that are part of that, we're taking a look at that with staff to see what parts have, you know, we've been through a 2- and 3-year process with this.
Yes.
So we're looking to see, you know, what has been discussed and what's the actions of the board and what has been the discussion from the Planning Commission and the board. Because one of the things I don't want to do is put this board in a situation where we've been through a very public process and we're rehashing things for the umpteenth time. But at the same time, look through those to see if there's some merit where we can incorporate any of those.
Right.
But we need some time to be able to do that. So
I'd like to take a look at the actual application process as well, because I see the ordinance and I see where there's the ambiguity and I see where we need to address. But I've also, the application process and having sort of some things that are being asked of them that aren't necessarily specified within the ordinance.
And that's one of the things that is being changed. If you recall, part of that was, there was a phrase in the ordinance, and I can't recall exactly what it said, Peter.
Because Brian Graham's working on that, and I didn't know it was going to be on the agenda tonight. I didn't take a look
right
at it. I know Brian's
okay.
working on it.
Right now I want to address extending it
out. Those are specifically, and that's a good thing to take a look at what that date would be. Justin taking a look at the ordinance rewrite, we're in the second week of March. I think we could have that wording to you in April. But again, that's the first meeting.
Yeah.
So, and you need a second meeting, which is then the May meeting. So I think probably extending that out to a June 1st.
That still feels a little soon. I mean, honestly, I...
But understand something. All of the information has been here, as well as staff has been here, as people have had questions as well. Part of the ambiguity, too, is we get questions from people where they're getting the information rather from the source. They're hearing it from second and third sources.
So there's the other consideration. Like, I am not opposed to the September 1st, and especially if Rick is leaving in July and we have this coming in and we're going to have all of these in, do we really want to go through the hiring process and registration at the same time?
I don't know. What do other members of the board think on the May 1st date?
It's way too soon. It's just around the corner. We're here before we know it. And I think we owe it to everyone involved to take a step back and do it the right way and look at all the issues and... like I said, I'd say September 1st or October 1st. You know, going to hire a new planner. There's lots of issues.
He's going to hate us.
I haven't heard of having the application printed off, emailed to somebody. They filled it out, sent it back to the zoning office, and Leslie did the work. So
was that person, I don't know the specifics of that, but likely maybe they weren't comfortable with the computer or
well, I think they were getting process. Timed out of the site or they, it was so cumbersome, the process that.
And see, we've had many others who have gone through that process. process.
Not everybody is a computer wizard either.
Oh, I understand that, and that's why she was willing, I'm sure, to help in that manner.
Sure, sure. And the fee, I think we need to take a step back and take a look at the fee. I think it's exorbitant. You know, I mentioned back when we first started talking about it, the $25 fee, and I was pretty much laughed out of the meeting. So, and I think we could have done a better job with a simple registration, hire somebody part-time in the zoning planning department to oversee it 20 hours a week, whatever, and we'd be much farther ahead. And well, there's many more issues than that.
Just addressing the timeline, the fact that that Rick is leaving. Really?
Any other?
Well, the only thing I'll weigh in on is having the planner give his retirement date does throw a big monkey wrench in things. I'm not sure when our description goes out. I would like the new planner on board to help with this process. But that said, how long did we look before we finally got the planner we have?
Long time.
A year?
At least.
You know, so to have someone come in August 1st, hopefully sooner, I think your September 1 doesn't seem unreasonable, Brian. Or October 1. October 1, I guess, is what I was thinking. Because otherwise everything defaults to Leslie, who's already going to be, if we don't get someone in place, she's going to be running everything, and then that on top of it. Yes, we have host compliance in place, and they are contracted to do the job, but there still has to be a face of the township, and all of that's going to fall on to our zoning administrator.
And I think we need to realize that October 1st date could also move. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know.
Fine.
A couple things. Number one, if we're talking September, October, my position would be we rescind the ordinance and that we got all winter to work on it. If that's, in fact, what everybody's looking at, if you're waiting to try to get this through in September, October, and then you got two meetings, you're almost the end of the year before this thing is done. The second thing I want to address is the cost. You know, if this is what it figures out to it costs, that's what it costs. But as a taxpayer, East Bay Township, that's not in the rental program, I sure don't want my tax dollars going to subsidize entity.
Subsidize what? I didn't hear that.
Excuse me?
I didn't hear you.
I said, as a taxpayer in East Bay Township, I don't want my tax dollars going to subsidize private enterprise.
You mean the administration of the...
Not the administration so much as the whole package. I mean, you got a company that's going to run this thing. Yeah, as far as the people that set in the office, you know, we charge for contractors to come in, talk to our engineer or whatever. We charge for that. The taxpayers don't pay for it. It's just that if it's a separate entity, which this is, short-term rentals, that the taxpayers in East Bay Township do not subsidize it with their tax dollars. That, you know, whatever the cost is, I don't know. We haven't been through it yet. But you got to pay for this stuff somehow.
Right.
And that's the only thing I'm going to say about the cost. I don't know what the cost is. I didn't do the research. You know, the township did that, and it is what it is. But as far as the date, if we're looking at September, October, and then meetings with us, my thought would be we just rescind it and wait for another year, wait for another season.
If we rescind that, though, short-term rentals are not allowed in East Bay Township.
Well, they've been going on for...
Many years.
Many years. That's the problem.
What's that?
Everybody in the audience is saying that it's not true that short-term rentals are not allowed in East Bay Township if we rescind the audience. And I just want them to know they're not allowed in East Bay Township. Enforced, but they're not allowed.
Can you show anywhere?
Whoa. This is at the board level. This is board discussion right now. Thank you.
Well, it's like when driving down the road here at 65, speed limit's 55. As long as you don't get caught, you get away with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Tracy,
yes, I'd just like to say, this frustrates me because we've been through over three years, of hashing this out, and we've had, from what I gather, a group of people who came after the ordinance was getting approved and now are frustrated with it. And I think we expressed when we passed the ordinance that we would definitely look at it as it was working, like you do any other procedure. There's always bugs, and we knew that we were going to have to make some changes, but this was the best ordinance we had at the time, and after 3 years, we wanted to get it going. So it frustrates me that we're allowing a small group after we've had 3 years.
So the question then becomes, if there's a foothold for legal entanglement, then this is a warranted discussion. So I appreciate your frustration in that, but I personally don't want to see the township sued. So if our ordinance isn't good in points, mm-hmm. it's not ready.
And what we can do, and we are doing with council today, mm-hmm. Is spend time with them on going through what needs to be changed and what does not need to be changed.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I'm seeing the happy medium here.
Yeah. And I agree. It needs to be looked at, but I don't think we just throw it all out because some people are trying to kind of like Metro.
Did you want to go or?
Yeah.
I agree that, listen, this is an ordinance. We've talked about it, the extent to which it's been a transparent process and a lengthy process, two boards, numerous public hearings, joint meetings. And I've even brought to the board consideration of other two issues after the fact, and the board has opined on those. And the instruction was from this township board to move forward with this ordinance with these parameters. Planning and zoning and I, as administration, are tasked with implementing that, and that's what we're doing. If we weren't implementing your directions, I'm sure I would hear from all of you. But we are doing that, and as well, when we receive a letter that's to me from council, I alert our council, and we address those items. We are addressing them. As a matter of fact, even prior to receiving that letter, two of the major points I was already working with Peter on how to bring to the board to let you know that there were problems with the implementation. That had to do with well septics and holding tanks. I'm sorry, not wells.
Dry wells,
thank you. Septics, dry wells, and holding tanks. And the second part had to do with the 7-day rental frequency during the 2019 year. Mm-hmm. I was already bringing those to the board. We are still looking at addressing those, regardless of anything else, as well as evaluating the other comments. And we can bring that to the board. It's just in the time allotment that you give me to do that. And I will say, I agree, May 1st is very tight, even for us, to get something in place because we only have now one meeting before that, and I really need at least two meetings, preferably two to three, although we could have a special meeting in there as well to get that through. So we have had quite a bit of notification on this. If you recall, every property owner was mailed this with their property taxes December 1st. It was right on the front right on the front of the communication to every property owner that stated the date of that. So, you know, as far as notification or lack of awareness, I understand that that happens, but that is not a responsibility of the township. It is a reflection of their awareness of their property tax bill or notifications in them. Anyway, so go ahead, Tracy.
So if we do extend this to October or whatever, then what are you going to do with the 2020 reservations that they are already going to have?
That's a good point.
Because you're going to be in the same spot you are right now, where they're saying the seven-day thing isn't going to work because they've already got people booked.
And
they probably already have people booked for 2020. Those people that come reoccurring every year. So I guess that's a point we need to address when we look at the ordinance.
The other thing I do want to mention to you is, as you know, prior to our special meeting on February 28th, we had had several phone calls into planning and zoning and spent time on the phone with a couple of individuals. I know I had with about three or four personally.
Hours.
But even today, with the article in the ticker, which I didn't even know there was going to be an article in the ticker, and in the newspaper, I've had phone calls and as well in communications from just so that there's all perspectives. I receive them from people who are short-term rentals who like the ordinance and are glad we did this. I receive comments from short-term rental owners who aren't happy with this, and I received today in particular calls from people who are very happy they're year-round residents and are very happy that we are taking a look at this. So
they have short-term rentals next door.
True enough. So, and this is no surprise to anybody on this board, we've got the gamut here, and so making everybody happy isn't going to happen.
No, I agree with that. And my primary concern is when I hear about people coming through the application process and having things that are in the ordinance and the application process not line up.
And we can get that clarified, and that will be clarified. Yep, absolutely. Go ahead.
A small suggestion, because what you're discussing is really a policy issue. It's not necessarily a legal issue, regardless of any threat of litigation.
Right.
That may be out there. These things happen all the time. Okay, when it comes to policies and things of this nature, you know, I know that Brian Graham, because he's basically taking this process over, is working with Mr. Carey, and I believe he's, you know, we've had some conversations with Brian. You know, maybe it would be a good idea within a month to have Brian come before the board and sort of outline here the issues raised, you know, through Mr. Carey. Here's what we're looking at from a planning perspective. I know he's had discussions with Rick, and he can recommend
and I think
any
that
types of action at that point.
I believe this is the March meeting.
Yeah.
We could have him before us with his schedules available. Sure. At the April meeting. Yeah. With even a drafted resolution. I'm sorry, a drafted ordinance, rather.
Or an amendment there, too. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At least it's worthwhile, and looking at it will help you with your timeline, you know, regardless of what decision the board makes as far as delaying the implementation of the current ordinance, which you have authority to do.
And, you know, I talked with Brian about the May date, and he's like, Beth, if it's tough to fit that in, we'll just change that date. However, I would say tonight, rather than change that date and maybe have that, let's maybe get to the April meeting, have Brian here take a look at the ordinance amendment or the changed ordinance, and have some discussion then and see where we're at, and then we can make that decision on a date in April. That's before the May 1st date. How does that work for everyone? Can you guys live with that? Can you live with that?
I'd still like to see the date be pushed out, because we're just going to be cramming, and it's just...
And we may do that, Brian, at the April meeting.
Let's do it right now.
We But I would like to be accurate with it, and so I think we'll know more at that April meeting.
So I'm hesitant to do that because I get an awful lot of things last minute in my packet, and it's hard for me because I work to always be checking for updates last minute, additions and things like that to come in. So I...
Well, we can have that well before with the packet a week early.
I'm just saying, it feels a little ambushy sometimes.
Yep.
You know, everything that you have there is very short in an insurance paragraph, or is something that did not come to me in a time that I could get it to you, like the CIPP. Those things are tried to keep very limited, but when you still have operations going on within a week's time frame and you're trying to get things before a board so you don't have to wait another 30 days.
What about making an informed decision?
We're getting away from the topic. This conversation is about the date for short-term rentals.
Beth, can I just ask? I know that all of our schedules with commitments... with conferences, spring breaks, other things that are going on. I don't know where our attorney's family life falls or professional life falls with that time frame. What if we push it back to do an introductory in May so that there's time for some of that maybe and see where we are May instead of trying to get that into April? Because we've just discussed on all of our calendars that the next 2 weeks are pretty booked.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the audit, April 8th, mediation, April 17th. Maybe we could relax that a little bit to try to get more information and to have more time for the attorneys to discuss different aspects instead of trying to hurry through it.
Sure, and so I would think that at April we could either do one of two things. As workload goes, as the Brian's schedule is able to tackle things, we'll see how that goes so that in April when we do the agenda, we'll know by then putting that packet together whether he's ready to go and we have all the information. And then we would put him on the agenda. If that's not the case, then what I'll just be bringing to the board is that fact.
Right,
that
so then we would need to come back as a board to extend the date.
Yes. Yep. That gives us the flexibility to just go with that workload, but yet not delay it out further if we don't need to.
Well, we can always delay, extend the date, and if the information is together sooner, we could.
But that's not fair to the residents.
I'm just trying to think of all different aspects.
I propose something in the middle. Okay, we're right at May 1st right now. We know that we need at least two meetings. We need two meetings, plus we need a meeting to talk to Brian to understand what all the issues are and how they play out. We need, and with that, we can get a draft of the ordinance that we can take back, understand what's going on. Then, do we have to have a public hearing at the first?
No,
it's an introductory.
It's an introductory. We don't have to have a public
hearing. But if we do that in April, then in May we have.
If you do an introductory in April, you can pass it in May.
Okay. I anticipate, since I've been on both boards through this entire process, that it's not going through in May.
Sure.
That it's going through maybe in June.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I propose a July 1 to get those three meetings in, gets us further down the road so everybody can understand what the issues are and how they are affecting our residents, both our short-term rental residents, but also our taxpayers that are not short-term rental participants.
They're all property owners.
And that way, and to me, that's a compromise. Instead of going to the end of the season, we're going to the middle, which is an appropriate stance right now looking at what we have. And that does two things. That gives our short-term rentals an understanding of this. At this time, July 1st. It's not today, it's not still May 1st. They have that date. But we're not going all the way to September 1st for those people that are in total opposition to short-term rentals, that we are still going back to our polarizing sides and going into the middle.
Can I make just a small adjustment?
Yes.
If we go July 1, all of the meetings have to be done in June.
So right.
It can be done in June
right.
for a drop-dead live date of July 1.
Does it have to be approved in the meeting minutes before it goes in? So does it have to be the July meeting?
I guess, what do you...
Well, if you're going to have...
Minutes have to be approved.
I mean, if you're saying you just want to have that July meeting open, if that's to be the final meeting, you can put it to the...
No, I'm saying if it gets approved in June, does it have to... The meetings from
no,
the
you
June...
Don't have to okay.
No,
minutes.
No, no. Okay.
It's not when the minutes are approved. It's when the meeting is held. So I guess I was hearing more to have it be effective July 1, but I was thinking our meeting's July 8.
Right. I was really saying that we've got June to have a meeting, and if we need a special meeting, we can have a special meeting. But if you like July 8, I'm really not opposed to July 8 versus July 1.
It wouldn't be on the night of the meeting.
July 9th.
I think the way the ordinance is, it's once published. And so if we make the changes if there's changes to be made after the attorneys look at it, and it is introduced at
May,
and there are changes then in May, and I'm just trying to give us time. If there are enough changes that have to go back to the Planning Commission, I don't know.
It doesn't have to go to the Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking of, do you know, Peter, is it a 30-day, or is it an 8-day, or is it upon publish? So if it gets published, if it gets sent to circulation the day after it is adopted, they say minimum 3 business days before it can be published.
That's why I was assuming that it would be done in June. So we had a month. We have a month to introduce it, a month to talk about it, and then a month to pass it, giving us to July 1. And that gives us the time after the meeting to get it published and da-da-da-da-da. Because if we push it back for another month, it's really August 1st before we're...
Yeah.
So I...
Okay. Brian?
I'd like to make a motion that we delay enforcement of the short-term rental ordinance till September 1st, 2019.
Okay. Is there support for that?
Support.
Okay, the motion's been made and supported. Further discussion? Okay, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? By
aye.
No?
Aye.
No. Okay, we'll do a roll call vote, Ann.
Let's see. Merrill.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Angel?
Yes.
Lyle?
No.
Walters?
No.
Corte?
No. Oh, excuse me, yes. I had to think which way we were talking. Yes.
Bartlett?
No.
Friend?
No.
Noes have it.
Okay, is there any other motion or preference from the board, direction from the board?
I'd like to make a motion to move it to July 8th.
Why don't you just do the middle of the month?
Let's just call the 15th of July.
15th of July. Motion has been made by Henschel and supported by Cortade, and we'll do a roll call vote. Ann?
Henschel?
Yes.
Cortade?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Put you in the wrong column. But Lyle?
Yeah.
Merrill?
No.
Friend?
Oh, did you go?
Walters? Did I get Walters?
No.
No, Walters.
Yes. No, you didn't get me yes.
The yeses happen.
Okay, motion carries. All right, thank you for your discussion. We have on the agenda the EMS billing, first up. Can you find that back in the packet? Does anyone have it right in front of them? They can see the page number. That would help me.
Glenn pulled that one.
No, I pulled two.
I pulled billing. It's on like 61-ish.
61.
I was going to pull one, but Mindy pulled
it. Page 54 is really the one that I... No, it's not. It's somewhere up
here. What's your question?
My question is, did he actually go and talk to any of these other entities that use the Acumed for their invoicing?
Oh, yes, he did.
Okay. That's all my question.
He had great references. Yep.
Okay, that was my question.
He was very happy with the references.
So do I need to make a motion to approve it now?
You would.
I'll make a motion to approve an agreement with Acumed Billing for a 5-year term at 6%.
Okay, is there support for that? Okay, a motion has been made and supported by, made by, hold on one second. Motion's been made by Walters, supported by Henschel. Further discussion. Glenn.
You pulled number one. I pulled number two.
I pulled number two.
We were discussing the East Bay Ambulance Billing Contract.
Yeah, because I was going to pull them both. And you pulled one, so I pulled two.
Oh, I pulled two.
Okay.
Okay.
Everyone's
going to be watching this.
Is everyone clear on...
Doesn't matter.
No. The question I had on it...
On billing?
On the billing, yes.
Yes.
That's, was when I read this on the computer, I thought I read someplace where they talk about dispatching.
I think that that's a generic contract, and they only checkbox the things that were appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're just billing, yeah. And where does the money go? Does it go to them and then to us?
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is nice because then we don't have to deal with the EOBs and so forth. So, and they take their fee out of it.
Okay.
Yep.
But they'll still provide fluid reports.
Yep, exactly.
And I would assume we would get their audit that shows everything is appropriate.
Yep.
And they got, I see they had insurance.
You know,
my concern is when you have a third party doing something, they're collecting the money. What would happen if all of a sudden it went belly up? That was my concern.
This is very similar to what we use for Metro. Actually, the other company was the one that we use for Metro. But this was better with the ambulance and with the responses that he had for the...
The references?
References, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Motion was made by Lyle, supported by Henschel.
No.
Walter.
I was looking at you when I said that. Made by Walter.
Motion by Walter.
Henschel, Halter.
Must be getting late here.
Anyway, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed by no? Okay, that motion carries. All right, the second item is the East Bay Ambulance Wage Adjustment. Was that Glenn?
Well, I'll take it.
But I think it warrants having a discussion. Our ambulance director was asked to look at the wages moving forward with ALS. We do have paramedic part-time on-call staff that have been working with us for a very long time. We also have BLS people that have been working with us for a very long time. I would have liked to have seen...
He looked at all of those.
Okay.
But I feel
very confident that both of the two that have been presented as paramedics, yes, they should have an increase in wages.
Mm-hmm.
But I still would like to see how the others, you know, we still need drivers. We still will be functioning with some that are EMTs. And
really, yes.
I want to make sure we can retain them as well.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you'll notice, too, that we have a continuing ongoing posting for the part-time paramedics and EMTs just to make sure that we always have a good pool of those because they will be important to the function of the ALS ambulance. Did I miss something, or did you have a specific question regarding this agenda?
Well, she kind of had brought up exactly what I wanted. When I got the information looked at, I have no idea what paramedics get paid. How do I know where these two are? But I want to make sure that we don't end up creating a problem. Because I don't know where the high and the low is.
Right. So I do believe that you have gotten that information in the past year, but I can go back and check on that. We can give you the wage range for the EMTs and also the wage range for the paramedics. And we went through that process of determining those ranges as we were posting the full-time positions. And so once we were finished doing that and we had these wage ranges as looked at by what else is out there in competing agencies and so forth, and looking at what we were currently paying, kind of developed those wage ranges. And then when we were done hiring the full-time, I asked Nick to take a look at all of the rest of the employees, and these were the two that he noticed that he thought was out of adjustment, or needed adjustment, rather. And so that's why these two are brought forward to you. The rest he felt were in line.
But I don't disagree that he's done that look. I think that's great, but I also believe that in the climate that we are in with all emergency services, we need to continue to look at the EMT base as well.
Sure.
And I believe that there are several areas that we could do better. So that's my 2 cents.
Sure.
How are you doing? Like, are you just doing an industry scan, or are you using ONET online?
No, we were
put together by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics.
Nope. We obviously we looked at mostly local data. So Blair Township. I looked at Elmwood Township. Nick looked at some other ones as well. I did look at some BLS data just to kind of see where we were in relation to that, but concentrated more on agencies right around us. And we took that information. It was funny because prior to hiring those two full-time employees, I had looked at the data and said, this is kind of where I'm looking at the range that makes sense. And I know Nick was doing the same thing when we had a scheduled meeting to go over the information. We talked about some of the things that we had each looked at and where we were at, and we each pulled out, you know, kind of the data and kind of our works we were looking at, and they were within cents of each other. I mean, once you started to really look at it, it fleshed out pretty easily.
Congruencies.
So, yeah. But
I can just add one more.
Yeah.
Based on the implementation date back to March 1,
mm-hmm.
one of the two individuals had hours that they would be back paid for the difference. One had not worked any regular hours in that time period. The other had worked 12. So there will be back compensation to March 1.
Okay. All right. Very good. Is there a motion?
I will make the motion. I don't know what your verbiage was, but motion to approve the changes in wages from the $16.97 an hour to $18 an hour for part-time ambulance and paramedic employees.
Court.
For?
Do you want me to name them or not?
Yeah, that's if it's in the motion.
For Terry Olson and Pat Parker.
Right.
And support?
Yeah.
Okay, motion is made by Quartade and supported by Lyle. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed by no? Okay, very good. Now, unless I'm mistaken, that was our last agenda item, correct?
Correct.
Okay, we're at the place for public comment. This is our second opportunity for public comment. You are welcome to come and address the board, state your name and address, and discuss your topic of choice with, state your topic of choice with to the township board.
Good evening. Marlene Baldwin, 4100 Prouty Road. I just want to thank you tonight for the discussion on the short-term rentals. I have been, as I said from the very first time I approached the board, I was late to the party. And I'm caught up with the party now. I have spent hours going through FOIA documents, looking at past history of the board, the 2 to 3 year process that the board has been undertaking in creating the ordinance. I have read letters. I've just seen so much, but one of the things that I just was curious about as I've done my research is that there has been plenty of discussion, case in point, but there was a lot of concern brought to the board in regards to the ordinance and issues and how things could be better. And as I watched the progression of the ordinance go through the changes, those issues and concerns didn't seem to be addressed. It got worse. So that was something that I just was kind of perplexed about and curious about, because if, as I stated back in November, it's hard to get host here because we're unable to really get in touch with each other. And upon getting letters from the township, it gave us an opportunity to collaborate. But there was plenty of interaction, as I go through previous documents, that shows that the short-term rentals did speak and did make comments and did come to the table and try to get the board to consider changes. But none of those changes that I could find happened. And I saw the opposition of people against short-term rentals. I saw that. And I saw how their concerns with water quality and frequency, all of those things was addressed, but everything that the short-term renters brought to the table and said, well, we're concerned about septic inspections and we think the frequency is a little much, it's like it fell on deaf ears. And that's disheartening for me, because I came late to the party and just said, can we make some changes and can we talk about it? And we're at the, we don't want to talk anymore, we just want to see what happens. And now we're at the, let's see what happens, and we've got a lot of issue, or we think, or maybe we don't. And it's, you know, I just have confidence that there's enough intelligent people in this room that we can figure it out and get it right. And I just would like it to see more of a collaborative effort, as, you know, letting people who are short-term renters experience chime in and help collaborate to create something that works for everyone, even though not everyone will be happy, that there's just a sense of collaboration instead of us saying, can you please make a change? And I'm hearing, well, we just don't want to talk about it anymore. We've talked about it a long time. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment this evening?
Hello, John Drury, live at East Bay Township on River Road, and I, too, am a short-term rental owner. I happen to be fortunate enough to also live in my short-term rental property all the time. I have an accessory building. So this is the second time I'm speaking to the board, and I think in about a month. So, again, I want to say thanks for creating an ordinance. It's an avenue that allows STR owners to be able to pursue keeping their homes, their family cottages, helping mitigate some additional costs. It is extremely expensive to live up here. But I, too, kind of voice some concern that, you know, we were notified December 1st, and I understand that there was a lot of public comment. I am late to the party. I like being involved in municipal activities and process. But with being late to the party does not mean that we cannot open or amend a process or a ordinance, in this case, to be able to better manage and gain common ground between all parties. And Beth, you've said it to me on the phone, you've said it to me, to all of us here, we're not going to make everybody happy. But in all honesty, and the group of us that are here, we've made very few demands. And I think in those demands, there's common ground to be found. And it's really three simple things that we can look at. The time, the 7-day rule, it's capricious, it's very arbitrary, and there's no support as to why it should be in effect. The fee structure is really, I mean, it got pulled out of the ground, out of the air, and it really looks like it was pulled out of the air from our third party who's going to be managing this. And fourth, the inspections of the septic tanks. If we have to have our septic tanks inspected every year, everybody should. The fact of the matter, if your septic tank is working, you don't know if it's working until you have a problem. When you have a problem, you know it's not working. Every septic guy I've talked to in the county says the same thing. Well, what is there to inspect? Are you getting sewage backed up into your house? No. Well, there's nothing wrong with your septic. So it's really just a couple of things. And we can all sit down. We can all chat. I would say a majority of the people that are STR owners in here, we want this ordinance. We just need some adjustments to it. Adjustments called amendments. We can amend this. We can have this done really quickly if we just all sit down. Probably only need a couple hours, honestly. And I know there's some of you that are against SDRs. There's some of you that are really big proponents. I'm really middle of the road. I'm a retired fireman from Chicago suburbs. And I mean, the things you guys are talking about tonight, these are all really simple problems. There's bigger problems in the world. Just let the SDR owners move forward. Let you guys move forward. And let's just create a good, strong ordinance. Again, East Bay can be looked at in all of northern Michigan to be a pioneer to creating a good STR ordinance. Other communities will look at you to be able to use this as a foothold and show that STRs can work in a community and we can all live together with a good STR ordinance. Thank you.
John, can I just ask, is it jury or drury?
Jury, just like in the courtroom.
J-U-R-Y.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Any other public for public comment? Hello, sir.
Hello. Give me a minute. I'm kind of a new guy in town. My name is Jeff Byers. I have a short-term rental on Traeger in Rennie Lake. I really just want to second both previous speakers. I agree with the three main issues. The septic, I've watched everything online, and I've been to one or two meetings, and the only real professional I saw here was a septic man that said that was a worthless inspection. In all the time you've taken to research this, I would have thought you might have listened to that. And I've already incurred that cost. I've already went out and hired an inspector. Said, of course, my system works. And now you're changing the dates, trying to get the application done by the May 1st deadline, and for ordinance that isn't even appear to be well thought out or concluded. The other thing was the cost. $450 seemed exorbitant to me, and now I find out some of your own trustees don't even know where that figure came from. It seems to me all we're getting for that $450 fee is a recording of our application. I would certainly think you could be a job creator and hire somebody to record our applications and keep a file. That's a lot of money, and you're not even going to provide an inspection for that. I had a rental in Mount Pleasant and paid a $200 fee, and the fire department came out and did a thorough inspection of the property. Fire code, the whole works. And I certainly appreciate that as a property owner. I want inspections. It helps me maintain the value of my property if everybody's getting inspected, but this figure for $450, and what does the hosts get out of that? That's an exorbitant filing fee. So the fee, the septic, and then the 7-day limitation. So we're registering as a business, and then you turn around and tell us how to operate that business. It's like telling Dunkin' Donuts you can only sell eclairs on Tuesday. If you want us to file as a business, then you got to let us operate as a business. Don't tell us what, you know, to that degree. It's not a safety issue. It's It's just like was said, it's just an arbitrary number. And these things obviously are to quiet the complainers. We all know that. You put up some hurdles, try to limit the number of rentals we may have. The septic thing, which is a total boondoggle. We have a health department. You have codes for septic. It already exists. You're just creating another expense for us that's just totally not necessary. And just and as a reminder, I do pay property taxes, and I pay more than a year-round resident because I do not have homeowner's exemption. So when you make a reference to all the other residents that are taxpayers, we are all too, and we actually pay more than they do. So you should be responsive to that. We are essentially small business operators, and you're trying to, you know, it's like you're trying to drive us out. I bought my property as a transitional home to try to move up here year-round. I don't intend to rent it short-term forever, but I have a home downstate. I got another property in South Boardman. I'm fixing to sell, and I'm trying to be sure I want to live up here year-round. So I'm in my rental now, but these hurdles being thrown, it's like, well, I don't know if I really want to live in East Bay if the hostility is going to be there. I may choose another area. I got family in Traverse. I got family in Leland. So, you know, those are other areas. It just seems like it's a harassment. And the board, as was sort of stated, was reacting to the complainers more than the actual property owners. I don't see anything justifiable. And it sounds, I'm not involved in the group that appears to be organized, but it sounds like you're going to have a lawsuit. And so to not extend your dates, it seems sort of silly, because I thought I heard that early in the meeting today, that you're going to be subject to a lawsuit to extend that date. So it seemed like you might be a little proactive and would have went to the September, October, at least in response to the potential lawsuit you're going to be faced with. Doesn't show much good faith. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Any other public comment this evening?
Yeah, Ken Weaver. I'm not going to repeat what I've heard. You know, I agree with most of those comments. Just one thing is, and we picked on, we have a really good health department here. I've been working with them since 1990 on many projects. I've probably peered into over 75 septic systems. I mean, right in there. You know, maybe not my hands, but I probably have seen more septics than everyone here combined. I know about them. I've been parts of fixing and resolutions. Let the health department do their job. They're good people. And they say the same thing. Just let us do it. There's a problem, they'll deal with it. They really will. There's no one in this room, and we all know that wants to pollute the ground of the lakes. I mean, no one. People may not know what they have, but they're finding out. So just here and down the road, you know, I hear that we got to get rid of these older septic systems. I mean, I've heard that over the phone. I beg you, just let the health department do their job. Let construction code do their job, and you guys do your job.
Thanks, Ken. Thank you. Any other public comment this evening?
Sure. Hello, I'm Sheila Mosley on Twin Bay Drive, and in regards to the short-term rental situation our township is dealing with, I've been to a few meetings where public comment has been expressed, suggestions to the ordinance, perhaps identifying the types of short-term rentals, the people that live in their homes, that have a room, to me, I feel have been lumped into the same category as the people who are renting for the weeks with the opportunity for things to go wild in the parties or whatever the neighbors are dealing with. I have friends that deal with next door neighbors that have short-term rentals, and so this protection for them is important. But I remember many times of public comment suggestions for wording additions or subtractions, and at one point requesting the type of rental, if a person lives there or if they're gone, to identify those types of residences would be valuable to be included. Now that if you want to reconsider some of the wording, just rewind on some of the public comments that were presented. There aren't that many, and I think we can all work with each other for a better community. So thank you for considering what the people are asking.
Thanks, Sheena.
Thank you. Any other public comment this evening?
Let's change the subject. Spring is on its way. Mark McArthur, Grand Traverse County Road Commission. We know spring is coming for us because the frost laws are going to go into effect on the 16th of this month. And that's the first indication of spring for us, okay? And you know, we know we're not out of the woods yet. We know we're going to have a lot more snow. That brings me to the point of every April we do a budget adjustment. We have winter number one, which occurred at the end of our calendar year, November, December. And now we are into winter two, part two, which is January, February, March, April. I'm going to stop there. And so what we're going to do is we sit down and we kind of look at the coin and see what happened. What I can tell you, which we think we all in this room can attest to, is that we spent a lot more coin this year than we wanted to. Okay, so in terms of our budget adjustment, we always are conservative, so we have the funds there. What we do is then if we have money left over, we pull that back in. But, you know, we probably went through a significant amount of salt and sand, labor hours, fuel, and maintenance on our trucks, and overtime for the labor. So when we do our budget adjustment this year, there won't be a lot there. But I think it's noteworthy of noting that this coming year that we will spend $24 million in Grand Traverse County on our road systems. It's the largest budget in the history of the Road Commission. I can tell you that when I went on the Road Commission 9 years ago, $9 million. That's what we had to spend. We have streamlined the entire organization through our fleet management system, through our asset management plans, our pensions, and our health care liabilities, our pension liabilities are almost zero. And so we're sitting with our fleet in better condition than we've ever had. Now, getting off that a minute, I can tell you right now, what we're facing, and this is for everybody in the room to be understand this, we can raise more money through taxation or shifting of funds at the state government level. Will that mean we will have better roads in Michigan? Likely not. Why? Because as the last 3 years, we've seen more demand on labor, more demand on equipment, more demand on the materials. Supply and demand dictates the prices go up. So we anticipate we got pretty good this year, but by next year, next January, when we're in February, when we pull out our bids, we're going to get hit big. On top of that, when it's broadcast out that there's going to be more money for through taxation and transfers of funds to the Michigan funds for transportation, what do you think the contractors do? It's pretty simple. So, where we could get a certain amount of labor materials, and workmanship for a dollar within by 2021 will probably be 50 cents on the dollar. So you spend more money, get half the result. So it's going to get superheated, and there's no sense in that. So the way I figure it is, I'm not, as a county road commissioner, interested in any tax plan coming out of Lansing. When the one that is in place, the first time it was put out there, individual commissioners through the state opposed it, even though the County Road Association supported it. We were very vocal about it, and it was shot down by the voters by 80%. The next one was a good plan. It hasn't even fully been funded yet and implemented. I say, let's take the one that's on the books, let's give it some time, and let's not superheat the labor costs through supply and demand on our materials, and hold on, because I want our invested dollars that we get back to the county road commissions and the city municipalities and the villages to actually count for something. And we are lucky enough to get about $4 million every year on a millage, and we don't want those to be frittered away on inflated costs. So that's the bully talk about that, but the fact of the matter is you watch what happens to these costs. We have a lot of costs. And 3 Mile Road is one of those this year that was held over from 2018 is going to get done. From Smith Road all the way out to Garfield. It's not going to be a brand new road, but it's going to be a lot cleaner, a lot safer than what is currently in the condition is it in. So we had a lot of bad accidents this winter. I'm sure it was road conditions related, but we're continuing to improve the road systems. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, if you have not met our new manager, Brad, he's on board. He's been there for about a month now, and his first day on the job was the public event for the East-West Corridor project. So we're training them. We throw them right into the fire. So anyways, just want, if you have any questions, I'll answer them.
And Mark, yep. We have you on the agenda next month, the Road Commission, for that quarterly meeting. So I've asked Brad if he can attend that and come and meet the board. So
cool.
We'll see if that works out with his schedule.
Yeah, I'll talk to him too.
Sounds
and
good.
That'd be great for him to come in and meet you. And then, of course, may you guys come to MTA, we'll buy you lunch. The one time we train you up. All right?
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Any
Mark.
Other public comment this evening?
Hi, my name is Jane DeLude. I live at 3511 Wumple Road, and I'm speaking on behalf of my parents who live in Midland and have a cottage up here on a surrounding lake. Their neighbors happen to be short-term rental owners, and hands down, they will take their renters over their neighbors who are loud and obnoxious all summer long. So I'll keep it short and sweet. The rules of the short-term rental are very strict, and they will take them any day over, again, their neighbors. So it's not just, I mean, property owners can be loud and obnoxious, as I'm sure there are rentals as well. But I'm just for the record saying it's not all short-term rentals. Thanks.
Jane. Thank you. Any other public comment this evening?
Matt Cortade, 1221 High Lake Road. Again, I'll change the subject. I've been here since January at every meeting and basically said the same thing. I really do hope mediation, this meeting for Metro, you have some success. I've said that before, and I mean it. But here we are again. Mediation set for April 17th now. We've done nothing if Garfield pulls out. You know, back in January, I suggested you need to come up with a committee. Garfield's already doing that. So I'm asking you board members to get together and make this decision. If we wait, again, we wait till the middle of summer, and you know Garfield makes this decision, and then they're gone. Yes, we still have Metro, but it's going to be so pared down, and we have not put any commitment into it. I really think you need to get together. You need to get a group together to decide on where we are going to go, Plan B, when they pull out. You listen to their meetings. You know what they're after. And I agree with you guys. It's unreasonable. They've already pulled the stunt once about stopping something that was necessary, that was asked to by their fire chief. Their fire chief asked for those dormitories up at 9, and they refused to fund it. It took a while to finally convince them to at least do partial. But anyway, I really feel we need to get going on this. So I'm asking you board members, a couple of you at least, take the ball and run with it. Get together. If mediation turns out great, what have we lost? We've lost a little bit of time discussing a few things. But if we sit here until April and in no success, now we're to May. What are we going to do? Because it's just a few months until that December deadline, and it needs to happen. Now, right now, I just look at the fact that, you know, we had two house fires in 6 months, less than 2 miles from Station 9. Station 9 was never, well, the one, I guess, they had the part-time fire truck, fire stop and pick up. But, you know, I don't know if the public knows, but Station 9 is basically a storage unit. It is not manned during the day or any time. The second fire out on Peninsula Trail, the truck come from 1, and then, thank God, Lieutenant Clute brought a truck from 11. But if we don't have those plans in place, when Garfield's gone, is that truck 11 going to come? It'll come, because they all do. It'll cost us. But if we have a better plan in place, maybe we don't have to go there. So I implore you guys to start thinking about it. It's a very serious issue. Thank you.
Any other public comment this evening?
Hello again, Gail Miller, 774 Lake George Trail. I know I'm not supposed to speak on the same issue, but I just wanted to bring up some points that seem concerning to me about process. The first is that many of these folks, and I am guessing the majority of people, yeah, why don't all the short-term rental hosts please stand up?
Ma'am, no. If you would like to make public comment to the board, you may do that. Okay. This is not time for that.
There are a lot of people. We've got a well-organized group now. When this all started, well over a year ago, the reason I found out about it was a tiny little blurb in the newsletter. Most, if not the majority, almost all of these people probably did not know that this was all happening up here. We don't all live locally. You've taken a very small, probably about 100 of us, according to our count, and regulated us without our input for the most part. We're a very small group. Most of us had no complaints, yet the majority of us were not involved at all in this process until we received the letter in the mail that said, you have 6 weeks to comply. So I think there's a major problem with the process here in terms of, you keep saying that this was a public process and an open process, but the people that you are regulating, for the most part, did not get a chance to be heard during the process. So please don't move forward from here being annoyed that we are now making our voices heard, because we did not know what was going on before. We were not reached out to. You had the opportunity after the fact to notify us all that we now had to pay $450 and comply with a bunch of rules, but you did not bother to let us know in advance of the process. The process of making an amendment to this ordinance should also be a public process. I am getting the impression that this is Beth's ordinance, and you're making all the decisions and letting people know after you've made the decision.
Ma'am, we don't call out individual board members during public comment.
All right, I apologize. What I am seeing, however, is not a board that is fully engaged or fully informed. You're being faced with a lawsuit, yet the board members have not been briefed by an attorney, nor do I think that they've actually seen the demand letter. I don't think that that's proper. In addition, there's no process that I know of for tracking complaints. Supposedly, the short-term rental ordinance was designed to solve a problem. But unless you've got a record of the complaints, you don't know what the problem is. And so I would strongly recommend that both the township and the sheriff's department, if they're the ones who handle your complaints, start tracking the complaints and identifying who's at fault. Is it the neighbors that have three teenage kids that are having a party, or is it in fact a short-term rental operator? We need to know the difference between those two types of complaints. Once you know what the problems are, then you can craft a solution. You now have a very organized group of short-term rental owners. We have a huge stake in this. We've also got lots of experience, and I think that everyone has given you our best, we're putting our best foot forward. We want to participate. We want to help. We don't mind the ordinance, but we want to be treated fairly. Utilize the people who are in this room. Set up a committee of short-term rental hosts so you really and truly understand our challenges and how this ordinance will affect us. This has gotten to be such a contentious issue that it almost seems like it's us versus them, hosts versus everybody else. We're neighbors, and we are part of the same community, and we love the same lakes. This process should not be so hard. I really implore you to sit down with those of us who have things that we would like you to hear and work with us to make this ordinance work for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment this evening? Good evening.
Hello. Kim Schaub, 3619 North Breyer. We're still here. It's been a long 3 years. And you really just need to finish this. There's after the Planning Commission, all the meetings, blah, 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 blah. A year ago, the ordinance was originally passed in September. And you anticipated it being done January 1st, and then a year's gone by. It still hasn't been finalized, and so just finalize it. Just take out a lot of the contentious stuff. Finalize it. Move on. If you have a problem, address it. You can make an amendment later, and be done. That's it. Just be done with it.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment this evening? Okay. Seeing no further public comment, if there are no objections, we stand adjourned. Everybody have a good evening.